We continue in worship today with the second scripture lesson, which comes from the Hebrew scriptures, part of the wisdom literature, the book of Proverbs. It's reading from the first chapter of Proverbs, verses 20 through 33. Listen for God's word today. Wisdom cries out in the street, in the squares she raises her voice. At the busiest corner she cries out, at the entrance of the city gates she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. When panic strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord and would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and be sated with their own devices. For waywardness kills the simple, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But those who listen to me will be secure and will live at ease without dread of disaster. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God, Spirit of truth and life, draw near to us, surround and enfold and embrace us, that through this time and through your word, we might be led in the pathways of new life and lasting hope. Be with us now, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have two statements to open with this morning. Statement number one, there is no action we can take which has only the effect desired. And statement number two, it is within our ability to understand what God wants us to be and to do. Number one, there is no action we can take which has only the effect desired. Isaac Newton long ago taught in the third law of motion that for every action, it is followed by an equal and opposite reaction. So in scientific terms, if you push the pendulum 6 inches forward, it will swing back 6 inches in reaction. In playground reality, if you push me in the shoulders and call me a name, I will push you back in the shoulders and call you a name. Actions provoke reactions. But now here's the subtle distinction. None of us live in vacuums. None of us exist in tidy, self-contained worlds in which we can predict the responses to our actions. We tell ourselves, well, life is basically a simple equation of doing this and then this follows from it. But the truth of the matter is that we routinely have no clue about the true impact of our daily deeds. Life is not Newton's pendulum, neatly swinging forward and then back. Life is more like the smooth surface of a freshwater pond, in which every action that we do is a rock thrown that breaks the surface and sends ripples in all directions to the farthest shore and then back again in ways we cannot predict nor control. And that's a humbling thought. Number two, God wants us to understand how we should live and how we should act and has put it within our ability to gain that wisdom. Life is not a perpetual pop quiz for which you lack both the textbooks and will constantly feel unprepared and ill at ease. The world, for all of its complexity, is not inscrutable, nor is it beyond our basic comprehension. It's true, every day you have thousands of options of things to do, things to refrain from doing. Do I go here or there? Do I drive? Do I walk? Do I ride a bike? Do I cheer for Pittsburgh or cheer for Cleveland? Well, some are a little easier than others. But the basic truths of lives are frankly simple and readily available. Treat others as you wish to be treated. Do what is right and just. Love kindness. Walk gently upon the face and the gift of this earth, and walk humbly before God. In truth, it's not that complicated. So why at times is life hard? Why are we so seldom at peace? The simple answer is that we know the things that make for peace, but we do not do the things that make for peace. A more nuanced answer, though, would argue that the voice that calls to us about the things that give us life and hope and peace and truth, those voices are so often drowned out in the cacophony of competing sounds, competing theories, competing powers around us. Picture for a moment you're standing near Times Square in New York City, near the busiest time of day and the height of tourist season. There are all around you cars honking and buses revving up their engines. There are music boxes playing and voices shouting. And then there, somewhere in the middle of it all, stands woman wisdom, trying in vain to get our attention and be heard over the noise. Now, wisdom as a metaphorical image and figure appears many times in Scripture, and wisdom is always personified as a woman. In a male-dominated world, she is the contrasting female figure. In a world of war and crime, she is the embodiment of détente and justice. In a world of foolishness and headstrong human pride, she is the one that constantly calls us to remember who we are and to whom we belong. And so there she is, woman wisdom calling out to us. And we strain to listen to her words, but when we do, we discover that what she's saying has a paradox quality to it. Because she says to us in this opening passage, "Listen while I tell you how deaf you are. Simple ones, why do you love being simple?" My mother used to always say, "You can attract more bees with honey than with vinegar." Woman wisdom's message isn't sweet like honey. And so our temptation is, as soon as we hear her voice, is to shut down, to stop listening and simply mingle with the other tourists on Times Square. So what does woman wisdom do next at that point? Well, what would you do in her place? Or what have you done when a child, a grandchild, a student has not listened to your instructions? Well, you've raised your voice. You've shouted, if necessary. And just because you're sitting in pews, don't go pretending you haven't shouted at someone. Wisdom's voice, though, isn't raised in disrespect. She isn't rudely shouting to disrupt a speech by the president. Wisdom speaks with the voice of passion built upon a promise. Remember statement number 2. God wants us and has promised that we can understand how to live and to act in this world. God, through woman wisdom, says, "I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you." In time, Jesus himself would say, "Where I am going, you cannot go. But the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name, will teach you everything and bring to your remembrance all that I have taught you." Woman wisdom has so much to say to us. She speaks as a true parent whose love is seen both in the embrace and in the rebuke. In the gospel lesson that Garland read, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And after hearing a variety of answers, Peter waves his hand and says, "You are the Messiah." And we smile and nod knowingly once more as the star pupil gets the right answer in that inaugural class of Discipleship 101. But when Jesus talks about how the Messiah would be rejected and killed, Peter this time puts up his hand to silence the teacher. And in challenging Jesus, he is rebuked. When Christ says, "Get behind me, Satan, your mind is set not on divine things, but on human things." To rebuke is not the same as to be judgmental. To be judgmental is to willfully obscure the image of God in another person through a bias or a prejudice that we overlay and wrap around them so that we fail to see them as children of God. To be judgmental is to say, "You cannot do this job. You're too young. You're a woman. You're not educated. You're not from here." To be judgmental is to say, "You just don't get it. You're a man. You're a stranger. You're not married." And we toss out those words or hear them spoken, and in so doing, they deny the very image of God to the person upon whom we thrust those words. But to rebuke is to seek to break through the personal veneer of worldly foolishness or pride or doubt, to break through that so that God's light and glory might both shine in and be reflected back out, so that the deeper beauty can finally emerge. So it's there when Jesus rebukes Peter and says, "Do not set your mind on earthly things, but on heavenly things." It's when the teacher says to the pupil, "Don't tell me this is too hard, because you can do this and even greater things than this." It's when the parent says, "Don't pretend you're a victim or that others are out to get you simply because you made a bad choice. Take responsibility and go forward learning from this." It's when the prophet says to the church, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot, and I will spit you out because you are lukewarm. Church, you're given a precious gift, but you've buried it in the ground. You were called to be a light on the hill, a city set high above others." Woman wisdom speaks without malice, but without hesitancy, and reminds us that the way of foolishness will kill us, that the pathway of complacency leads to destruction. And though we sincerely strive to be an inclusive and a welcoming church, that does not mean we are never critical or at times adversarial. Only by saying no to the ways of vanity and pride and injustice can we say yes to the promises of new life and hope and righteousness. And so woman wisdom calls out to us this day on a rally Sunday in September. And she reminds us to walk humbly in the world, because we can never foresee the consequences of our actions. Even when we intend good, ill can follow. Even in that which seems evil, out of that can emerge something that brings life. We are not our own. But woman wisdom also says, then walk faithfully in this world of trouble and complexity, because there is one who sees the big picture, and there is one who will offer and does offer wisdom, peace, and life. And that's why at the end of this introductory speech to the book of Proverbs, woman wisdom says to us point blank, "Those who listen to me will be secure." A security that doesn't come from weapons and power, but from abiding in a house whose foundation is solid upon a rock. And she goes further and says, those who listen to me will live at ease. Not live in ease as the results of false and frivolous prosperity gospels, but live at ease, possessing a hope that can withstand any tribulation, a peace that passes understanding. Today we commit ourselves to be the Church of Jesus Christ at the busy intersection of Penn and Highland Avenue and wherever God sends us by God's grace. Today we commit ourselves to the three touchstones of our faith: consistent times of worship as a family of faith, commitment to Christian education for all ages, commitment to witnessing what we believe out in the community, out in your jobs, out in your families, and in the world through your deeds and your words and actions. And as we do that, Woman Wisdom stands beside us, comforting us and challenging us, reminding us that knowledge may help you make a living, but only wisdom helps you make a life. And in that moment, she beckons us forward to walk by faith, to love kindness, to seek what is true, and to do so saying and proclaiming the simple words of the Psalms. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. May all God's people say, Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us enter into a time of prayer together. Most gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day and for your continued expressions of loving kindness towards us. We thank you, Lord God, that you awakened us this morning and started us on our way and have gathered us here to bring you all praise and glory and honor. Lord God, we ask that you forgive us of our many transgressions, those sins of omission and sins of commission, that we might grow closer to you, that we might know you more fully and love you, Lord God, with all of our being. We pray, Lord God, that we would be a people of wisdom, those who would seek your godly knowledge, to not use for our own good, but to use to strengthen our brothers and sisters, to provide what they have need of, and to walk in the newness of life. Lord God, we pray for those who are suffering today, suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We ask that you would provide all that they need and that you would lift them up and let them know that you have not left nor forsaken them, and that you will continue to provide all they need. We pray for those, Lord God, who have lost their way, that you would be a light unto their path. We lift up, Lord God, our country, those who have been elected to serve, our president. Lord, these are some frightening times that we are living in. We are a country that has so much, and yet there are those who live without. Lord, we would ask that you would endow our government with knowledge and with godly wisdom to do what is right, so that all of your people would have everything that they need. Lord God, we pray for our church family, that as we start a new church year, that you would strengthen us, that you would renew our strength. Lord, that you would draw us closer, not only to you, but to one another. And that you would send us out to show this love among those we live and within the community and beyond. Lord, we just desire to be all that you have created us to be. But we know that we can only do that if we look to you as our model, as our encourager, as our redeemer. And so we lift our voices today in unison, praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we serve such a gracious God. God has provided all that we need and more. And so it is in response to God's love and the grace of Jesus Christ that we offer our gifts back to him. That our ministries might be made known not only in this congregation, not only in our community, but throughout the world.